You're listening to Satellite Sisters.
What's a satellite sister?
The person you call when the best thing in your life happens or the worst.
The person that gets you up, gets you going, and gets you through.
And every once in a while, changes your mind.
This podcast is part pep talk, part weekly check-in.
Like grabbing coffee with a friend.
Thanks for being here. Welcome to the Satellite Sisterhood.
You're listening to Satellite Sisters. I'm Leanne Dolan. I'm a writer and producer. I'm here in my closet in a brand new chair, sisters. I mean,
wow. That is exciting news.
Well, when they canceled the Rose Parade last week, I thought, well, this is it. We're in this closet till 2021, maybe 2022. I'm going to get myself a chair. So I had been sitting on like a 50-year-old ottoman that mom had given me. It was not comfortable. So fantastic new chair, rolled it right into my closet. How are you guys doing? Jewel, how are you doing?
Good, good. I'm still here in cool, lovely, delightful Colorado. I have no chair, Leanne, but now I'm a little jealous. But I'm thinking I might want to get a gaming chair. Have you seen any of those? My grandsons are trying to talk me into getting a gaming chair. Wow. That could be quite a look in a closet. Think about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I do want a photo of that. This is Liz. I'm the middle sister. I'm in Bend, Oregon. Another gorgeous day here today. And I'm excited to be here with you sisters.
Liz, great show. But first, Liz, you're going to tell us all about our great new website.
Well, I just want to remind people, because we put up this whole new website and then we mentioned it once and we didn't mention it again. So I'm going to mention it again, because there's now a place where all things Satellite Sisters comes all together. So if you go to satellitesisters.com, you can find all of our episodes, by the way, more than 850. And it's the best way to connect to any of the apps that you listen on, like if you're on Apple or Spotify, subscribe. You can do that there. It also brings together all of our communities. We've got a Facebook page. We've got a Facebook group. We've got Instagram. We've got Twitter. That's all there. You can sort of take a look at what's there and decide what you want to participate in. We have a blog, Leanne. You've done most of the work on that so far. But, you know, we're going to have a place where we can post things and say what we want. So working on that, some information on how to work with us if you hire speakers and things. And final teaser, some hitherto unpublished photos of us, including...
I was shocked at some of those photos, Liz. Yeah,
I know. After we said yes and it went live, I thought, God, I never showed Julie any of the new...
No, pictures. You did not. No, I was shocked. Yeah.
But they're good ones. They're good ones, including a really nice one of all of us, of all five sisters with our mother, Edna Dolan. So there you go. There's a reason to visit our new website, satellitesisters.com.
Well done, Liz. Great job. Great job. All right. We have a full show for you today. We're not taking the summer off. We continue to work. We're here for you. First of all, Julie's going to tell us about sort of the surprise. I don't want to say shock. Royal wedding? I don't know how you describe it. We're going to talk about that.
I think this was a delightful... We're going to talk a little bit about the royal wedding. It was delightful. I'm going to tell you why, Liam. Yes.
All right. Thank you. Liz has a working it out this week. It was a Facebook question from Melanie, and mainly the Satellite Sisterhood and Mr. Hood did most of the work on this one. A great question and some great responses.
Liz, it's so heartwarming. Heartwarming to see all of you helping each other during these hard times. So thank you.
Liz, you also have a new favorite word you're going to let us in on. So that's exciting. Julie, apparently you have advice for me. Who's the advice for? Every parent that has a recent graduate asleep on their couch right now? Is that who the advice is for?
That's okay. Right. Moms and dads are really and truly getting into the job search business with their recent college grads. So there's some good news. There's some maybe not so good news. Some cautionary words. Yes.
Well, I feel like we can speak openly because I'm in a closet and he's still asleep downstairs, my recent college grad. I am bringing a magazine hodgepodge. You know, we love those. Ooh. We have some entertaining sisters, and then Cooking with Liz is here. So after a triumph in the backyard. Liz, while you were busy cooking salmon this weekend with half our family, I have to say I spent the weekend just reading, watching, and listening to the moving tributes and remembrances of John Lewis. Wow, what a life. I mean, I had so much more to learn about him and so much admiration for him already, and now boundless admiration. What a life he led. Must be something to sort of live by your convictions every day of your life.
I mean, and everyone said that about him, that not only, I mean, you always knew like he was an activist and he was talking about what was important to him, but people also all mentioned his kindness and his peacefulness. Mm-hmm. And when you think of like nonviolent protest, you forget about that fundamental to that is also the suffering they go through. So many discussions about that. I was also very moved. I got choked up quite a few times listening to the tributes.
Right.
He was a remarkable man and lived a remarkable life. And, you know, it's humbling to really to spend some time, you know, learning more about it. I agree.
It's a good word, Julie, humbling, because to a person, the people who remembered him, you know, said he led with love and humility. And that's those are two really hard things to lead with on a consistent basis.
Yes.
I feel like I have a lot to learn from that. So rest in peace, John Lewis. Thank you for your service, really, for all the work you did.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, love and humility, it's not exactly what our culture teaches us to value. So it's good to get a reminder of how valuable it truly is.
And how powerful it can be. How change making, right? Mm-hmm. Where you can create change from those two places.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Well, yes. And I haven't seen the documentary yet. So I'm looking forward to watching that brand new documentary about him. I heard the director on an interview just talking about her admiration for him. So that's next up on my list. So speaking of movies.
Wow. Sounds like what's happening? What's happening on this podcast, Liz? I'm afraid. What are you talking about? Liz.
Well, I'm pretty sure when I told you guys on the show a few weeks ago that I was going to set up an outdoor movie theater in my backyard, you were kind of playing along, but you did not really believe I was going to do it. Is that correct?
I did correct. Not think you had the wherewithal to make that happen. No.
So, okay. I am so close to opening night. There was a little bit of a snafu this weekend. I want to explain, but I figured it out. So, yeah, I went ahead and I ordered the projector. People in the Facebook group had a lot of good suggestions. And then I read the reviews and, you know, there's that website Wirecutter, which is always good with reviews for technical products. So I just ordered it. Then when it arrived, I spent a whole afternoon studying the various cables and adapters I would need. You know,
you must have been in heaven, Liz, because we know how much you love your cables, your wires, your plugs.
Yes,
it's really, you know, it's your life's work right there.
It truly is. Because I knew I was going to have to attach either my laptop or my iPhone or some other gizmo to the projector so it would have something to project. So after spending the afternoon studying the manual, I made the required run to Best Buy, where the required 19-year-old helped me find all these things. Because now there are all these USB-C, whatever. So I just needed to make sure I had a 19-year-old help me buy the right things. So then I came back. I sat in the backyard in the afternoon and I hooked everything up and turned on the projector, and it was just a big nope. I was getting nothing. I was getting zero. But I could hear from the fan that it was on, but it was nope. So then I went inside and I went on the projector company's website, and they kept referring to this setup wizard that I would see the setup wizard, Leanne, right? So right. And no matter what I did, I'm like, do I download the setup wizard? Where is the setup wizard? I don't understand. Where's the wizard? So then I had like 2 hours of where is the wizard? And that even include a call to tech support, where I found out that the projector company does not staff tech support except Monday through Friday, 9 to 5, which I think if you're selling projectors for outdoor movie theaters, those are not good hours. Those are really not good hours.
Daylight hours, not that helpful.
Yes. Weekends. Well,
although you probably do want to set it up in the daylight rather than wait till dark, Liz.
Well, Wait, Julie, that's what I thought. So then, I'm inside for like 2 hours trying to figure this out, reading, calling, emailing. Finally, I emailed tech support so they could get back to me on Monday. And so 2 hours have gone by, and then I go outside. So now it's 9 p.m. and I go outside and the projector is still plugged in, and I look at what is being projected on the side of my house. But the setup wizard, the reason I could not see that is because it was light out.
Oh my gosh.
Isn't that unbelievably obvious now that I say it out? Yeah.
Wow.
The setup wizard lived in the projector. And it was.
I don't think that's a technical term, sister. I'm just telling you, but it was good.
It was projecting, but in broad daylight, I was not seeing it. So then I went outside. And I was so happy. There was the setup wizard, 9 p.m. when it's dark enough here in Oregon. Boom, I got that bad boy set up. So now there's actually one more cable I need to go get, but I am on the verge of opening night. It's going to be this week, come hell or high water. This is this week. So I just wanted to let you know that. And there were so many in the Satellite Sisters Facebook group who also have done this, particularly Jennifer just posted a photo this week. She said, we just did this last weekend and streamed Jumanji Welcome to the Jungle with our neighbors. So, so fun. And she posted the picture, and what looks so, so fun, Jennifer, which I'm 100% not going to do, is in Jennifer's photo, all the kids are in the pool, like floating in the pool watching.
Oh,
Jumanji.
That sounds deluxe. That sounds very deluxe.
I think that might be something you need to do at Nana Camp, but I am not installing a pool. I am done. Anyway, that's it. opening night coming up this week. All I had to do was work in the dark. That was the key. Okay.
So if you could just get your mic working for the podcast.
I know. Yeah.
Maybe you should check to see if there's a setup wizard in your microphone. Okay. That's a little behind the scenes joke. But Liz has had some technical difficulties in the last couple of weeks. Yeah. But she's gonna try it in the dark, and everything's gonna be okay. So
that could be the solution, Julie. Thank you.
Okay. Well, just one final report from Nana Camp 2020, and this is something that I think every grandparent knows, that when you are entrusted with your grandchild, the most important thing is that you want to return that grandchild in the same condition that you got them. Right? That you just don't want anything to happen to the child under your watch. But part of summer camp, as you know, Leanne and Liz, is it's insect bites, it's scratches, it's cuts, it's gashes and rashes. And so here at Nana Camp, I have 3 tubes of ointment that are in my pack at all times. Okay. I've got Benadryl gel, I've got Neosporin, and I've got Aquaphor. These are my go-to ointments. Now, with Ben, this rashes are pretty serious because he has allergies and he has asthma. He travels with an inhaler and an EpiPen. And he is, you know, he's also probably the most likely to get cuts and gashes. So I am constantly applying either Benadryl or Neosporin to him. Okay, that's my 1-2 go-to ointments for Ben. Now, Alice, she's a little older, but she seems to have like rashes. Now, I don't know whether it's contact dermatitis. I don't know whether these are heat rashes or just teenage angst. I'm not sure. But I find that just applying some of that Benadryl gel, that really soothes and reassures her that whatever the microscopic rash that she's seeing on her arm is going to go away. I don't see it. The one that was on her forehead, I don't know what she was talking about, but the Benadryl worked. Okay? And then Peter, the youngest, he feels things very deeply. I mean, that when he gets an insect bite, he is deeply and morally offended that an animal would bite him. So I am using a lot of Benadryl on him, but he also came down yesterday and he told me that he had an itch in his private parts. Okay. No. I was like, oh brother. So of course now I am down on my hands and knees inspecting the private parts, all parts of the private parts. and I don't see anything. But, you know, you got to do something. You can't just say rub it up, which was the school of medicine that our parents adhered to, right? That we could get bites, scratches, you know, just, and our mother was a nurse.
Broken bones.
Yes. Yeah. Our mother was a nurse. She did take care of us. Our father, he just was not interested in this at all. I'm going to just say rub it up. But so this is Peter. He's very sensitive. I'm inspecting it. So that's when I go with the Aquaphor, because I don't want to do any harm down in that area. You know what I mean? But right. he wants an ointment. He wants some treatment. So that's it. Benadryl, Neosporin, Aquaphor. Okay. Just remember that.
Beautiful. That is some good advice. Yeah, those are three ointments everyone can use. That Benadryl is magic. It's magic. My son Brooks
right?
uses a lot
it
of that.
Just, yeah. You got to do it. You got to get, you can't just say, oh, don't worry about it. You have to treat it. Right.
All right. Those are great updates. I do think there should be some crossover programming between the outdoor cinema and Nana Camp for sure. I feel like that should work. Right. We are going to thank a few sponsors here. We have a new sponsor to thank. So you're going to want to stay tuned for that.
Hey, it's Liz and Leanne here, and we want to thank PROS for supporting this episode of Satellite Sisters. Now, you know, Liz, I've been out and about with my new book, The Marriage Sabbatical. Mm-hmm. The book is getting rave reviews. I'm very happy. But you know what else is getting rave reviews? My hair, Liz. My hair from PROS is getting rave reviews.
Leanne, I am not surprised. You have been on that PROS hair regimen for quite a while. I mean, you have good hair anyway, but now you have great hair because you've really paid attention to it.
Well, Liz, PROS is made for people, not hair and skin types. Personalization is rooted in everything they do, from their in-depth consultation to their made-to-order model. And you know what? I love the regimen they have me on. Do I take the hair vitamins every day? Yes, I do. Do I use my shampoo and conditioner made especially for Leanne Dolan? Yes, I do. I sometimes use the leave-in conditioner when my hair's really dry? I do. And I even have a pre-scalp thing that they give me. Okay, PROS, you're the boss. I'll take it. You tell me what my hair needs. That sounds good. And here's the thing. It's personalization, Liz. For millions of possible formulas, only one is uniquely Leanne's, okay? And I'm using it. PROS isn't just better for you. It's also better for the planet, Liz. They're a certified B Corp, cruelty-free, and the first and only carbon-neutral custom beauty brand. So, PROS, we love you. I love the photos of my hair. Couldn't be happier.
Photos of your hair. There are people in the photos, too. That's the thing about a book tour. Everybody has their picture taken with Leanne and then post it. So the hair is important.
Couldn't be happier, PROS. PROS is so confident that you'll bring out your best hair and skin. They're offering an exclusive trial offer of 50% off your first subscription order at pros.com/sisters. So you get your free consultation, then 50% off at pros.com/sisters. And PROS is spelled PROSE, pros.com/sisters. Thanks, PROS.
We're back. Sisters, you know what? We had a royal wedding over the weekend. Did you happen to see the pictures of a wedding or the marriage of Princess Beatrice to Eduardo Mappelli Mosi?
I don't understand how this snuck up on us, Julie.
All right. Well, first of all, Princess Beatrice, she's the oldest daughter of Prince Andrew and the Duchess of York. You know her. But she's probably best known for wearing that wackadoodle hat to Kate and Will's wedding. Remember that thing?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. So she got engaged to this nice guy, Eduardo, and they had big plans for a big wedding. But of course, that was squashed by COVID. Okay. So there she is. She is, you know, she wants to get married. She's in love. Well, who steps in but her grandmother to help her, okay? And when your grandmother is the queen, it means it can be gloriously perfect. I mean, so she borrowed her grandmother's vintage Norman Hartnell gown, and she added a couple of, I don't know whether they're poof or puff sleeves, Liz, but that's what she added to the gown. And then she topped it with Queen Mary's diamond tiara. And it was the same tiara that Queen Elizabeth wore to her wedding. So highly sentimental, highly sentimental that the queen would step in to help. And why did she have to step in to help? Well, of course, because this is her beloved granddaughter. And then, of course, her father, Prince Andrew, is in the middle of a serious sex scandal. So that's swirling all around him.
Right.
And the Duchess of York, Fergie, well, our mother told us never to say, if you don't have something nice to say, don't say it. But she was on Satellite Sisters. Yes. And I really had the feeling that she was not a Satellite Sister. That's all I can say.
All right? Oh, I had forgotten about that.
I have never forgotten about that episode at all. Anyway, so there she is, poor Beatrice. She's the old, her sister had the big wedding, everybody else in the royal family had giant weddings, and she had this perfect small wedding, 10 people, the most amazing flowers outside that chapel at Windsor
yes.
Castle. I mean, they were spectacular, and she looked so happy. And there she was in the picture, she's got the queen right there. And they even propped up the Duke of Edinburgh. They got him revved up. I mean, he's 100 years old. Perfect. Good for her. I mean, that was a nice little thing. But I think the moral of the story is grandmothers and grandfathers can save the day. And that if you're in that position right now to help people come together, to share more love and hope, I'm all for that.
Oh, okay.
Okay, Julie, I didn't care about that wedding at all. I didn't even know why we were talking about it on the show, but you made me care. So thank you, Julie.
Okay,
I didn't know what was happening.
So it was very nice. And it was about a couple that's in love, but it was about a grandmother who loved her grandchild mm-hmm. and wanted to make her have a special day. That's what I thought.
Oh, okay.
Well done.
Well, you have to be for that. Okay, we're for that. You convinced us. All right, moving on. So, we've been trying to do some working it out segments here on the show because everyone's got a lot of extra just work-related stress going on right now. Worries about workplaces and layoffs and how to be a good colleague or a leader or all of that. So this week, I mainly want to thank all of the sisters and misters who weighed in with advice for Melanie, because Melanie posted a question in the Facebook group that was kind of like, here's the way I'm feeling, can you help? So I'm gonna give you a snapshot of the question and then some of your great answers. So she wrote, I'm a middle manager in finance for a global manufacturing company. My company's going through heavy restructuring. I just found out my job is safe and I'm sitting here waiting to find out how many people I have to let go. I'm looking for help in how to say goodbye in a kind and caring way, something the corporate world does not do well. These people are important to me. We are like family, and most have worked at the same company for many years. But how do we keep folks motivated to pass on their procedures and share their knowledge and be motivated until the end of their work date? So, it was amazing the thoughtful and helpful counsel people had, but most of all, good for you, Melanie, for even thinking about this. And I just know from all those episodes of Safe for Work I did, sisters, most people really like their jobs and most people really value their colleagues. I cannot tell you how many questions I would always get where people say, I love my colleagues or they're like families. So, and I know all the jokes are always about work is such drudgery and those crazy people we work with. But, most of the time, people like the crew that they're with. Mm-hmm. Anyway, lots of people weighed in. I encourage you to go read what people suggested. But I wanted to special shout out to Polly, because Polly said, I've been laid off 3 times and none of them were done humanely. And that's what pushed me into a career of coaching managers and team development. So my team was like a family, despite it being almost entirely remote workforce. So here's what Polly said she did when the layoffs came. And many of these I've never thought of. She said, first of all, I wrote many undated general letters of recommendation and made sure they knew how to contact me for more customized letters at any time.
Wow, that's nice.
That is...
that takes a lot of work and that's very generous.
Yeah. Yeah, she said, I created a contact spreadsheet for all 120 of us to fill out with preferences for future contact. So if people want to stay in touch or not, we made ourselves available to everyone, regardless of reporting structure. So people could ask questions, vent, tap us for resources. That one I liked. This one was one of my favorites, because if you've been through this, you've met this person. She said, I ran interference with a bulldog of a change agent who lulled us all into believing we were safe and then laid us all off in one fell swoop. So, yeah, somebody's got to take down the change agent. and then she said, the most important thing I did was coach the team toward leaving with their heads held high by doing the best job they could to transfer information onto the next people. And several of them actually learned a lot in that process, and it set them up well for their next jobs. So, and her last thing she said is, the last thing I'll say is to be as accessible to them emotionally as feels safe right now for you. Sometimes just hearing, I'm sorry, this is terrible, I will do anything I can to help you find your next job, is the most you can do. So I think that's all super advice.
I do too, Liz. I mean, I do think that, you know, you go through a grieving process when you lose, you know, and you have to acknowledge that. You have to acknowledge that for the people who've lost the jobs and those that are remaining, that remain, because they also grieve the loss of their coworkers, you know?
So. Exactly, Julie. Exactly. And that's what Melissa said in the next letter. I just want to read a couple sentences from. She said, I work in benefits and have been laid off 3 times. Twice I had to stick around almost 6 months to close down programs. I've been part of humane layoffs and part of the don't let the door hit you on the way out layoffs. And so she said, saying goodbye, this is what you were just mentioning, Julie, saying goodbye as a survivor is also hard. Just keep in mind, leaving employees may have a lot of feelings, fear, shock, resentment, sense of betrayal, and especially with COVID going on in their lives. Realize that it may not make sense to realize they may take it out on you, even though you're trying to stay above that, which I think that's really true. You just have to kind of understand what people are going through and show appreciation to the contributions that they've made. So thank you, Melissa. Thank you, Polly. There were lots of other people. And if you, again, if you read through the thread, you'll see Melanie keeps weighing in saying, thanks, this was really helpful. Like, oh my God, that's a good piece of advice. And then at the very end, she wrote, thank you, everyone. I just had a conversation with our HR person, a lovely lady who is an empathetic thinker, similar to me. We both had a cry. We're trying to get this through as much as possible. I thank every one of you for your thoughtful perspectives. I'm very glad to lately have found this group. So all hail Satellite Sisters and Misters for backing up Melanie and many others in the Sisterhood and Misterhood who are just going through some hard things right now. So that's it. That's working it out this week. We're working out for each other, Leanne. That's what we're doing. We're working out for each other.
I love it, Liz. I love it. That was all good advice. Very thoughtful.
Yeah.
Best of luck. Best of luck.
Leanne, I saw this article and I just, I immediately saved it and I thought of you. And it was it appeared in the Wall Street Journal this week that apparently parents are helping steer job searches for the 2020 grads that are stuck at home. I don't know if this sounds familiar to you,
yes,
but college grads, class of 2020, I mean, could they have come out at a worse time with a pandemic? And it's truly, and entry-level jobs are harder to find now. They had a recent report from Glassdoor, which is a very big website for job search and salary information. Entry-level postings in the month of May fell by 70%. Okay,
wow.
So
wow.
It is hard. Yes, it is hard to find a job. But here's the thing. Everybody's at home, right?
Right.
Mom, maybe dad, mom and dad, and the college grad. And you know what? Robert Half, which is a large staffing firm, one of their senior executive directors said that they are seeing many parents actively involved in helping their kids, their college grads, get jobs. Okay. That they are trying to help them navigate this whole new world. How's it going at your house, Liam?
Well, So Colin came home about 2.5 weeks ago now. His plan was to work freelance, actually assist his brother in his business, his photography and gear rental business. And in March, that was a great plan because my older son had a lot of work and could indeed hire Colin. His work is not as robust as it was, but it's getting back to normal. So there's a lot of sitting around on the couch. And Julie, it is the hardest thing in the world, not to say every hour on the hour. So did you put a resume together in the 4 years you were at college and you had access to the career workshops?
I know.
Every day? No resume, nothing. And, you know, he keeps saying, but I want to be freelance. So it's like a double knife because that's, you know, the freelance, you really have to hustle.
Yeah.
That's fine. You want to be freelance. It's torture. It is torture.
So many college grads do not want their parents to help. Okay.
No.
Because help equals badgering. Okay. They don't want that. Okay. But in fact, many college grads, not only the class of 2020, but previously, you know, people do use their family and friends to network and to find jobs. That is part of in normal times, that would be part of the job, you know, process. But now parents are really finding that, you know, they want to get involved. So some are hiring career coaches, you know, but the career coaches in this article in the Wall Street Journal reported that they had to set boundaries with nosy parents. The parents are paying the bills, but they want to find out if it's actually working or if the kids are following up on any of the advice that the career coaches are getting. But Leanne, I have a plan for you because there was one mom that was profiled in this Wall Street Journal article, and she has set up a dessert and decisions night at her house. Okay.
Oh.
She wanted to provide a low-key approach to encouraging her 22-year-old to at least get going on making certain choices or eliminating certain choices because her son, you know, didn't really have, apparently went to college and didn't put together a resume or visit the career service office. So
ever.
Okay. Yeah. So listen to some of the nights that she's put together. How about a peach cobbler and policy jobs night? So, right? So you just talk about a specific field with a specific dirt.
Wow.
The dessert. Or how about mudslides and the military? Maybe your son or daughter wants a military career. So I think that this is really, you know, forget the expensive career coach, you know, or don't forget websites. I think the desserts and decision night at home could be a real winner for you and Colin and for a lot of other college grads.
You know what? It reminds me of the advice I got from Sue and Steph on our pandemic parenting show. They had that tactic for college, right? It was you just can't talk to your kids about college 24/7, even though you're all in the same house. So they had set aside, like, we will talk about college every Saturday night from 5 to 7, right? Uh-huh. And this is very much the same thing. Like, I feel like I could talk Colin into one night a week doing some sort of career advancement activity with maybe cocktails.
Cocktails and appetizers might work better. That really goes to your strength, not to take anything away from your baking skills, sisters.
Yeah.
But I think that you might make more headway with Colin's career if, you know, because you are very good at the hearty appetizers.
Yeah, I am. So, yeah. And that way you don't talk about it the other 6 7/8 of the days of the week, but like one night. Yeah. He could use a little help. On the other hand, he's working 3 days this week. So, okay. All right. He's getting off the couch. So, it's a challenge.
It is a challenge for parents. You understand why they're involved. They don't want to be helicopter parents, but they do want to encourage and provide additional support in very unusual times.
Very unusual times. Yeah. I agree.
And by limiting how and when it gets discussed, you are kind of containing the contagion. You know, you're just containing it. which I think should be our approach to all things right now in the time of COVID. Let's just contain the contagion. And if the contagion is panic that you're never going to get a job, you just got to get that contained somehow. Yeah. So I like it. Really smart idea.
Good advice, Joel.
Okay, so one last thing. Favorite words. You know, you read all kinds of news now about what's happening in the animal kingdom during the pandemic, right? So we've all seen the viral videos of kangaroos shopping downtown streets in Australia, or jackals in Tel Aviv, and bears. Haven't we seen many, many bears? What's with the bears?
We've seen many, many bears on our Facebook group. Half our group has a bear in their backyard.
The bears are having a very big year. Yeah,
they are. So anyway, so as a way of organizing the scientific observations around all of this unusual behavior, there are a couple of researchers who have proposed a name for this period of time, because they're scientists, that's what they do. And they said, so this guy said, we noticed that people started referring to the lockdown period as the Great Pause, but felt a more precise term would be helpful. We propose anthropause to refer specifically to a considerable global slowing of modern human activities, notably travel. So anthropause, isn't that just a hugely appealing word?
Like, yes.
Okay, like we're all quieting down, and now they make the point, it's really a unique opportunity to study the global patterns in animal behavior, both for good and ill. Like you see some animals who are totally flourishing, like the kangaroos downtown. And then you see but they also say from a purely scientific point of view, there are other animals that are suffering because, for instance, they rely on human protection. So poaching has increased, or conservation efforts have decreased for endangered birds because people can't work together. So they just want to have a way of tracking it, both, you know, the good news and the bad news during the anthropause. So I'm just going to start working that into as many sentences as I can, because it's even fun to say. That's an important thing about a word. Fun to say. You know,
a lot of usages for that. I think a lot of usages for that. It's hard to know even what to call this time, the time of COVID, the pandemic. What is it? We don't know. But an anthropause for sure. Yeah.
Anthropause. And oh, one last thing. It is a good reminder that a lot of the viral videos we see on YouTube, that's not exactly science. You know, when you see that.
Kidding me, Liz.
No, Julie. They made the point that video of the dolphins in swimming in Venice. Like, look how clean. That was fake. Those dolphins were really, they were in Sardinia. That was not Venice. Like, you could look at the color of the water and be pretty sure that was not Venice. But anyway, even though it's not science, I say keep the videos coming during anthropause.
All right. When we return, we have Cooking with Liz. We have magazine Hodgepodge. And Julie, Julie's going to blow the doors off why your feet hurt. So that's exciting. I mean, this show doesn't.
Do your feet hurt? I'm going to tell you why. You're not going to believe this. Yeah.
This show doesn't stop. It doesn't stop. All right. But first, we need to stop and thank some sponsors.
Liz, you know we love talking about Framebridge, don't we?
We do. because there are just so many fun things to frame, Leanne, aren't there?
Right. Anything. You can just upload a digital photo from your phone and they can print it and frame it. And that is a gift right there, a gift people would love getting. But Liz, you recently had quite an exciting Framebridge experience. Would you like to share?
I talked about how when we were at the Bruce Springsteen concert, I was with our brother Dick, his wife Susan, his two kids, and one of the roadies threw us the set list at the end of the show, which was amazing. To get the actual set list for the actual concert in Los Angeles. And we're like, oh, yeah, any day now, that's going to be in a place of honor in their home. Sure enough, Leanne, they have already Framebridged it and sent it to us with a picture. So I'll be in Bend next week, so I'll get to see it. But it's just excellent use of the Framebridge resources, the Bruce Springsteen set list.
Fantastic. And this is gift giving season. So if you have a graduation coming up, a wedding, a shower, Mother's Day, Father's Day, look around. I'm sure you have something fun you can frame, and Framebridge can do it for you. It's easy and it's affordable to frame just about anything. You get fair and transparent upfront pricing based on the size of your item. There's a great selection of frames. And as we've said in the past, fast service, free shipping, great for gifts. Mm-hmm. And guess what? Liz, not many things in life give you a happiness guarantee, but Framebridge does. If you're not 100% happy with your piece, they will make it right. So if this
but
sounds like...
But you're going to be happy, okay? Yeah. And that's just the Satellite Sisters promise. You're going to be out. You're going to be happy you did it.
See why Framebridge has been trusted to frame over 2 million pieces. Visit framebridge.com or see a local Framebridge store to get started and custom frame just about anything, like a Bruce Springsteen set list. That's framebridge.com. Thanks, Framebridge.
All right, sisters, we're back. Is it? I'm trying to bring up my...
It's hodgepodge time, Leanne.
I'm out of. I'm just breathless waiting to hear about your magazine hodgepodge.
Okay, all right. Here's what happens in the closet. I only have the one desk, and I'm trying to go from the ad copy to the rundown. So that's what happened there in that little gap, people. But we're here for you. All right. So first of all, I'd just like to salute the magazine business. You know, when my magazines come to my mailbox, I'm just shocked that people are still producing magazines remotely. That's not easy to do. It's hard to do when you can't shoot any new pictures, for instance, or design anything new, or create tableaus, or art direct anything. So producing a magazine remotely, my hat is off to you, editorial teams all over the world producing these magazines. That being said, it's clear people are running out of content.
Hence the hodgepodge. This gives me hodgepodge.
They don't know what to say anymore, right? Because you can't, there's so many things you can't really write about, like travel distance, you know, or like what to wear to your friend's wedding. There just aren't going to be any big weddings for a while. So they have really had to dig deep and dig stupid. And that real simple, you brought it. You managed to eke out an entire issue with almost no substantive content. Fantastic. All right. A big shout out to Real Simple's 28 ways to relax. I mean, it's like a 10-page spread because they have nothing else to put in the magazine. And it's a lot of stock photos of dandelions, you know, and blue skies. I don't know where they dug these up. Okay, by the time you get to like page 9 of the 28 ways to relax, here's what they are actually suggesting. They went to just all kinds of people. Oh, they went to people who are bakers and people who are legal assistants and clinical psychiatrists they went to. Here's two actual suggestions. Don't hug a tree. Stare at the branches. Yes, people, that is in a magazine.
Well, I'm glad you paid. Did you pay money for that magazine, Leanne? Because that's some good advice there.
I mean, here's this guy, Richard Taylor, is a PhD. He's the head of the physics department at the University of Oregon. And this is all he's got. Stare up at a tree. That's going to help you relax. Well, all right, Dr. Taylor, sure. And then not to be outdone by staring at a tree, how about this from Ali Roth Farrar? She's the author of, and this is a long, hard word, The Wellfulness Project. What? Wellfulness Project. Okay. Here's what she suggested. Not to be outdone by staring at a tree. She said, watch the pot. She said some days she just stares at the tea kettle and watches it boil. Honest to God.
I thought the whole point is that a watched pot never boils. That's not... That just sounds like a really frustrating exercise, watching a pot.
She has run out of ideas, too.
She's totally run out of ideas.
You know, the magazine has run out of ideas. Now even their experts have run out of ideas. Yeah.
I mean, there you go. Thank you, Real Simple. Keep it up. I can't wait for next month.
I mean,
28 ways to stare at a pot is going to be next month. Okay. Then I got, this was exciting. I got a new magazine, you guys, a new magazine. Imagine how great it must be to launch a magazine in the middle of a pandemic and an economic collapse, especially one that's called Millie, Your Life, Your Money. It's for female investors. Now, I know you guys didn't know, but I'm a female investor because I belong to that investment club. And now I am the partial owner of not one, but 2 shares of Amazon stock. So thanks very much. So they must know.
Really put in the time.
We're going way out on a limb, Amazon. So they must really know that I'm their target audience with those two shares of stocks. So here's a concept that I had never heard of before, but I loved it. And I feel like it's a plot bunny for another book, financial infidelity. Have you ever heard that story?
No.
That term? Yeah, generally involves some kind of secrecy or deception, says Stephanie Rodriguez, a personal finance and expert coach. Like other forms of infidelity, it's an action that violates the rules, expectations, and boundaries of a relationship.
So and when I buy a pair of shoes and hide it under the bed, that's financial infidelity, Leanne?
It is, Julie.
I don't agree with that. I mean, yeah. I don't have a man under the bed. I just have a pair of shoes. I think there's a big difference. Yeah.
Julie, are you violating the rules, expectations, and boundaries of the relationship?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I'm just waiting for the right moment. There's a right moment in time.
Okay. Well, 41% of Americans have committed an act of financial deception in their relationship, whether it was hiding a purchase or cash. The two most common behaviors are lying about debt. I just thought that was a great term, financial infidelity. Mm-hmm. And that would be a great jumping off point. If anyone's writing a screenplay or anything, go ahead. Because they profile this woman, and she made her husband hit the road. He just kept stuffing the bills in the trunk of his car and not paying them.
Okay, that's not good.
That is, no. Where
you shouldn't put bodies or bills in the trunk of the car. Yeah.
Okay. Financial infidelity. Thank you, Millie. Now I know.
Okay.
All right. And then finally from Southern Living. I don't know why I get this magazine, right?
I love Southern Living. I like that magazine. They have some very good recipes, Lynn.
Oh, huh. Well, I'm going to beg to differ. I guess it's because all the magazines are actually went out of business. So they just started sending me Southern Living. Most months, I don't even take it out of the packaging before I put it in the recycling.
Man.
But yeah, no, not interested. But this month I did. And it's a good thing because today's article is The Wonders of Okra. That's actually what it was called.
Okay.
The Wonders of Okra. Now, I know okra is a Southern thing and I have acquired no appreciation for okra. You know, I don't, other than the word slimy, that's the only thing I associate with it. So they have all these beautiful pictures, fried shrimp and okra po' boys and shoestring style okra and bourbon brine pickled okra. And I'm like, well, maybe I'll give it another thought. And then at the end of the article, they have some basics for you. How do you work with okra? One, you select small. They want you to get small okra. Two, check the color. And then the third tip is where they really lost me. Three, be quick. And as they write, once you cut into fresh okra, it will start to release its mucilaginous goo. work with speed to cut down on the slime and don't chop okra into very small pieces, which will make it gooier. I mean, what the Southern Living? It's going to... What is that?
That does not sound very appealing. And it's just confirming the inherent sliminess of the vegetable.
Yes. I mean, okay. There's a lot of things in my life that I just don't need to deal with right now. And goo is one of them. So
it seems very harsh, Leanne, because I mean, okra is a nice addition to any gumbo. And I'm sure you've enjoyed it in gumbo. And I'm sure you've worked with other plants and vegetables that provide challenges. And you've managed to do it. I think you're being way too harsh on
okra. I just feel like if the word mucilaginous is attached to your vegetable.
Yeah. That sounds like a very ugly part of anthropause. You don't want that happening. During the anthropause, you don't want anything that's mucilaginous.
Okay. You clearly don't have the right mindset, Leon. You should stay away from okra. Yeah. You know, it's going to be the next superfood. You eat kale. I don't know what you're talking about, you know? So.
Yeah, well, okay. It's not slimy, but all right. Go ahead. Let's tell me why my feet hurt, Julie.
Okay. Do your feet hurt, Leanne? Okay.
Yes, all the time.
Liz, do your feet hurt?
I was thinking the reason my feet hurt is because you guys have been encouraging me to use a lot more salt in my food and that my feet must be swelling and that's why they hurt.
So, no. Well, you are not alone. 75% of American adults surveyed by the American Podiatric Medical Association's people suffer excruciating foot pain at some point in their lives. Okay. So foot pain is real. Okay. Your feet hurting. You are not making it up. But here's the thing. Did you know that during COVID-19, people are reporting their feet are hurting more? And you know why? Because they're home and they're not wearing shoes. And when your feet are not getting the support for your soles and the balls of your feet, you're in trouble. Okay. So that is number one. You got to put your shoes back on. Okay. Even if you're not going to work.
Not work shoes. See, women have to wear heels and things to conventional offices. So I feel like it's a huge liberating thing not to have to put those shoes back on.
But you have to wear some shoes, Liz. Okay. And now here's the next thing, and pay attention to this. Again, outstanding numbers. 70% of people, adults, are wearing the wrong size shoe. Number one reason why people have foot pain, okay, is because you're buying shoes that do not accommodate either the width or the length or the dimension, width or length dimension of your foot. We are buying the wrong size shoe. Do you have shoes like that in your closet? They're really not right. You know that.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Right. And shoes and bras. They're all over the place size-wise.
And the number one culprit is most people are buying shoes that are too narrow for themselves. So that is, so you're wearing the wrong kind, or you're wearing the wrong kind of shoe for the type of activity that you're involved in. You're wearing the tight, pointy shoes, and you're trying to walk around all over a big city. Okay, that's going to make your feet hurt. Or you're wearing flip-flops, okay? And again, you decide to go on a walk. Okay, that's not right. You've got to take care of your feet, okay? I mean, you have to realize, and this is an article in Good Housekeeping, they said you have to realize that really your feet are part of your body. You have to, you have to incorporate stuff. I mean, they talk about orthotics. We all need support. Think about what you're doing to the rest of your body. Aren't you strapping it in, pushing it up, flattening it down? Well, your feet are no different. You can't just leave them in flip-flops, right? You got to strap them in.
We all call that, they call that podiatric infidelity, I think.
I think that's what it is.
We're on the verge of 28 ways to hold your feet together. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Then, if that's not your issue, let's say you have the orthotics, or let's say you have shoes that fit, but your feet still hurt. Then you have the whole category of corns, calluses, bunions, warts, ingrown toenails.
Oh, right? Stop.
Okay.
Worse than okra.
Yes, it does. Yep. It is slimier, Leon. Okay, you got to do that. You got to take care of your feet. Here's another big one. If you either lose weight or gain weight, a 10-pound difference, that totally realigns your structure, okay? And that can make your feet hurt.
This is really... I thought this was going to be an uplifting article on doom and gloom. And I mean, about feet. And this is a lot of doom and gloom because everybody in America just gained 10 pounds over the last 3 months. So
they got to put their foot. And then finally, the other the culprit, and this is not a surprise, hormones, okay, can impact whether or not your feet hurt. Okay. You may have an underlying condition and that may impact it. So your feet, everybody's feet hurt. We got to put our shoes back on. Okay. You got to find the right size shoe and you got to do some maintenance down in the foot area. Okay. That's all I'm saying. All right.
Yeah. But the self-pedicure is just another way I've been injuring my feet. So I don't know what to do about that.
Then you get the three tubes, Liz. Then you get your Aquaphor. You get the Neosporin.
Yes.
Or you get the Benadryl. Okay. That's what I'm telling you.
It all comes full circle. All right. Thank you, Julie. I think that you have provided a service to the feet owners of America. Moving on. So cooking with Liz. So this is what I've been doing during the pandemic, I realize now I'm coming up on season 15, sister. So it essentially means we've been at this for 15 weeks.
Right.
That is alarming. That's an alarming number. Anyway, this week, if you watched, I cooked Gold Creek salmon barbecue on the grill in my backyard here in Bend, Oregon. And it came up, this, you know, series came up with a side order of sort of Alaskan geographic info. So you got your food and you got, you know, info about things you may not have known about Alaska. So I enjoyed this week's episode. My co-stars, our brother Dick and our sister-in-law Susan, I think added a whole new flavor to cooking with Liz. What did you guys think?
I agree, Liz. In fact, I think your co-stars were actually the breakout stars. Our brother Dick was outstanding. In fact, Liz, I noticed that you actually did not do any cooking on the Cooking with Liz show. That you really sort of commandeered our brother Dick to grill your salmon, to grill and baste your salmon.
While
Susan was providing color commentary on life in Alaska. So,
Yeah. Okay, well, I was just trying a new thing. You know, you got to mix up the format a little bit sometimes. So
I agree. I had to laugh when the question was who did the cooking in your family, your mother or your father? And I'm thinking neither. And then you two looked at each other and went, oh, neither. They never grilled.
We never saw
our father grill. Ever. I never saw him grill.
Yeah.
He would have set the house on fire. Our father was not... Good. Liz, you used to grill the hot dogs.
And I did.
Grill everything else. Yeah.
I loved it. It was good.
Okay. So this week I am, so for the coming season, which will be this Saturday and Sunday, I'm going to strip it down and herb it up, sisters. Julie, this is one of your mottos, herb it up. So I decided especially because it's going to be 100 degrees here every day this week. So what's like a simple but super summery thing I can learn how to make? Remember, the concept is Liz needs to learn how to make some just basic things that I can keep doing once this is all over. So this week, it's pesto, sister. I'm just doing pesto two ways. I'm starting with Ina Garten's basic pesto recipe. So I'll be making pesto. And then I'll use it one way on a cold dish and one way on a hot dish. So pesto two ways. That's what I'm going with. I'm herbing it up. And pesto is my selected herb.
Great. I think it sounds wonderful. I love pesto.
Okay. I do too. But I've never made it. And just for those of you who have like nut allergies, I just want to remind you, Ina's pesto has not one but two different kinds of nuts in it. She uses the walnuts and the pignoli nuts. So this is not your... This is not your week. Sorry about that. Anyway, so I'll be...
or just get yourself some Benadryl. Okay.
So this is Saturday noon Pacific time, Sunday noon Pacific time, live in the Satellite Sisters Facebook group.
All right. Sounds good, Liz. All right. I have some book suggestions this week for entertaining sisters, but I'm looking at the clock. So I'm just going to mention one book and I'll put the others on our Facebook group and our Facebook page. But I want to shout out to Amy Papel, whose new book, Musical Chairs, comes out today. Now, here's two things about this book. First of all, people enjoyed the Sweeney Sisters very much. And I feel like this book, which I just finished, is almost a companion to the Sweeney Sisters. There are a lot of remarkable similarities to the book. It's set in Connecticut. It involves a big family. There are artists. There's chaos. There's dogs. There's romance. It's just a super delightful story of like a family spending the summer together in Connecticut. So that sounds familiar. And that's great. And here's the other really fun thing. Amy Papel, the author, and I went to summer camp together.
Are you kidding?
Wow, no. She is a Wyandotte girl. She's from Dallas, Julie. So there was just a big article about her in the Dallas Morning News. And we went to camp in Maine together, Camp Wyandotte, and we had lost touch. And when I knew her in camp, her name was Amy Mitchell. So when I started seeing her on Twitter, and she's a writer who started writing novels about when I did, so both in our late 40s when we started, I was like, oh, this looks fun. Oh, this looks interesting. And then I got a message from her. She said, hey, did you go to Camp Wyanagonic? Like, because my name hasn't changed. So we reconnected. So it's a very small world. But I would highly recommend this book anyway. But go Wyo Girl, W-Y-O-N-E-G-O-N-I-C, Amy Papel's new book, Musical Chairs, by my camp friend, Amy.
So, I love that title, too. That sounds pretty interesting. Yeah,
it's good. Well, it's about musicians. Yeah, it's very clever. It's really a delight. I loved it. So congratulations to Amy. I'll recommend that. All right. We want to thank Sergio Enriquez for helping us put on our show together. We miss seeing Sergio, but we're so grateful that he can continue to work with us through all this. Thank you, Sergio. Sisters, what's on your to-do list? Well, I have a quick update. You know, last week I was resting the dishwasher because it stopped working. People said, okay, bait and switch, because I rested it for a week. I turned it on Sunday. No dishes in it. Worked like a gem. I'm like, well, there you go. Edna Dolan was right. Just resting the dishwasher. So I loaded it all up and fired it up again, and it didn't work. I think I have to call the dishwasher repairman. That's my to-do list item this week. Liz, how about you?
Well, sisters, I am going to my first Zoom wedding this weekend. My friend Betsy, who you guys know, she planned a small wedding for this summer. And then, as she wrote in her email, then coronavirus said, how about a tiny wedding? So she's getting married in her father's backyard this weekend, but in-person attendance reduced way, 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 way down. But she invited her friends. She said, but an in-person attendance is reduced. In case your idea of a fun Saturday is watching a wedding on your computer screen, we'd love to open up the feed and welcome any friends who'd like to tune in. So, yep, that's what I'm doing Saturday night, 6 p.m., watching Betsy and David's wedding.
Are you going to get dressed up for the wedding, Liz?
Well, that's a good question, Julie. Maybe I should. Maybe that would make it so fun.
Yes. Sure. Yes. Absolutely.
What else are you doing? Yes.
Yeah. Nothing. Maybe I can.
Yeah.
Some kind of Princess Beatrice crazy hat. Something like that. Anyway, Zoom wedding. I'm all for it.
Sounds good. Okay. I'm Julie. Working. My to-do, s'mores. We haven't made them at Nana Camp yet. So we're going to make some s'mores.
Oh, that sounds just perfect. Sounds good. Traditional s'mores, or you're gonna do a take
home? Just traditional, Liam. Just the classics. Classics, you know.
I didn't know if you were gonna herb it up, you know. Herb it up.
Okra, I hear, is good on s'mores.
Okay. All right. I think we have to go.
Okay.
All right. Sisters, have a great week.
You too, Liam.
And don't forget, call your satellite sister.